All right, today I'd like to talk to you a little bit about hitting, and we're going to talk about starting off with the mechanics of hitting. That being said, mechanics aren't really everything about hitting. It's something to kind of think of and keep in mind. There's a lot more to hitting than just mechanics. Try to think of mechanics as the foundation that holds up a building. You don't really see it, but it's there, and without it, whole building would crumble and fall. So you have to have mechanics in order to hit, but it's not something you're going to be thinking about when you get to the plate, hopefully. If you are, you're in trouble with that guy out there 60 feet away. Number one we're going to talk about is the stance. Carson, want to demonstrate real quick for me? One thing I like to keep in mind, or I like my hitters to keep in mind with the stance, is that it's their own. I could really care less of how they stand, as long as they follow a couple different little principles here. One of them being is that they're comfortable. As long as he's comfortable and he's relaxed, I could care less how he stands. That's all that really matters. He needs to be where he feels comfortable, where he's relaxed, where he can get into the next step of hitting. That's the other thing I need to worry about. Can he physically go from this point to the next point, from this step to the next step? I like to teach hitting in 5 steps. You can break it down to 3, you can break it into 10. It doesn't really matter. I like to use a formula of 5 steps. First one being the stance. As long as he's able to go from a stance to a second step, then I don't care. As long as he's comfortable and he's relaxed. So that being said, we'll point out a few little things about Carson. A couple little things we want to try to avoid, and I'll go over them as well. His hands are relaxed. He's good there. That's important. If your hands are tense, you're choking the sawdust out of the ball or squeezing the aluminum alloy out of the bat, you're not going to be able to fire your muscles. Muscles fire better relaxed, not tensed. So you'll see he's relaxed. He's comfortable. Even if his hands are active and they're flipping around, he's still going to be relaxed. You see a lot of hitters stand that way. Many different hitters have many different stances. So it's just really what's comfortable for you. Carson's hands, again, are relaxed. From the front view, you'll be able to see he's slightly opened. That's kind of important as well. And I mean by opened is his front foot is farther out than his back foot away from the plate in relation to the pitcher. That's called an open stance. Things you won't see so much today are closed stances, closing yourself off to the pitcher. Reason being is you only have one place to go from closed, and that's open. Even if you stride straight ahead, you're still striding open or around. And we'll get into that as well as we get going. There's a couple different philosophies on hitting. One being a rotational style, one being a more linear style. We'll get into those and which one really is used at a higher level and which one's more of a myth than anything. So starting off with the stance, again, he's slightly open, gives him the ability to close off from here when he loads and when he strides, and he's comfortable and he's relaxed. So that's pretty much step one, is the stance. Okay, before we go any further, I'd like to address rotational hitting versus linear hitting and why we teach a linear approach versus a rotational approach. Some of the things that are positive about our linear and versus negative about rotational. Those are some things I'd like to show you now. Is it your bat? Some of the problems with a rotational approach, or I'll explain a rotational approach first, is that it encompasses sitting and spinning, basically. You want to keep your weight back, you want to turn and pivot hard at your hips, and try to create power out of your core. That, in theory or in philosophy, has some positives to it, but there are many negatives that go along with it as well. This is where a lot of the relations to a golf swing and a baseball swing come into. Golf swing being very linear versus rotational, and baseball encompassing a lot of that. So problems are when you come across or to the ball. Rotational being on an axis, you're at the point of the ball and our rotation pulls us across the face. So if I'm making contact and I'm sitting back and rotating, my bat's coming across the face of it, I'll create an arc or a side spin or a slice or whatever you want to call it. It's hitting the side of the face of the ball and creating sideways spin. Same thing can also happen. Batter comes around the outer half of the ball on a sit and spin or rotational swing and hooks it. See a lot of guys trying to keep the ball straight or fair and they're hooking the ball foul. There's a lot of power encompassing to hook a ball or slice a ball that amount of distance that it does sometimes. I've seen balls go from 20, 30 feet fair to 40, 50 feet foul. Think about the amount of power that it takes to make a ball hook 80 feet. What if you could take that power that's turning and turn it up, create more backspin on the ball, deliver more power? So that's kind of where we're going with it. As we go along, we'll be talking a lot more about it. Other problems are your margin for error are limited because you're stuck on a pole, basically, of sitting and spinning. You're here, our back can only get to so much point. As we start getting away from our body, we get weak. So we have a smaller margin for error here in a rotational zone to just sit and spin. Again, we're just coming around the ball or across the face of it. We're going to get along with that a lot more as we continue. So that being addressed, let's get back in. Let's get over to the power slot. Step two is the power slot. It's getting into your hitting position. It's where a hitter loads up. It's where they take their stride and they load their hands. So I'm going to go ahead and let Carson demonstrate that real quick so you can kind of see what we're doing here. And then we'll go from there. So go ahead and show a power slot. Okay, see a stride foot come forward, his hands low back. Very similar thing that a lot of hitters will do here that relates to another activity that we do. Let me see your bat real quick. We all know how to throw a punch, right? It's a simple analogy, throwing a punch. A person stands through and throws a hard punch. Now throw a hard punch. Let me have it. He throws a hard punch. Okay, before his hand comes forward, what would he do to generate more power? Pull it back, right? Pull it back to gain more power. Okay, show that again. He pulls back, punches through, develops a lot of power. Okay, one more time. Pulls back, punches through, and develops a lot of power. Now, something he also did that you may not have noticed the first time is footsteps. Footsteps when he starts to punch. So, pulls back, punches through. His footsteps forward when his hand actually pulls back. It doesn't step forward when his hand's coming forward. His foot will step forward when his hand goes back. Reason he does that is shift his weight, create momentum shift with his body, but his hand stays back. So we all do that naturally, throwing a punch, pretty much. We need to learn to do that throwing the bat head of the bat. So when he goes into his power slot, we'll go ahead and load. Hands went back, stride foot went forward. That happened at the same time. A big thing I see a lot of hitters do is their hands will go back, their weight will go back, and then their hands will come forward as their stride comes forward. Everything's coming at once. Lots of problems come out with that, okay? Let's say, give an example, his whole body weight's coming forward on one thing. That could be a fastball, okay? Let's say that fastball is 90 miles an hour. He thinks that fastball is going to be at that point in place. His whole body weight, his hands, everything coming at once. It's great if he's dead on that fastball. This is a problem you see in a lot of batting cage hitters. They get used to the timing. They get used to the ball coming out every 6 seconds. They just start putting their bat there then. It doesn't really matter if their weight's coming with it or their hands coming with it and what time they're coming together or if they're coming together. So his drive foot comes forward and his hands come forward at the same time. Show me how that would look real quick. I know it would be uncomfortable for you, but drop that in there real quick. Stride foot forward and hands forward at the same time. Hands coming with the stride foot. If his hands come with the stride foot, he's striding at every single pitch. We don't want to swing at every pitch, but he's at least starting it if he strides at it. So this being said, say the velocity of the pitch is 90 miles an hour. He's dead on 90 miles an hour. Well, what if it's a changeup? What if it's a curveball? What if it's something else? His hands are trying to react to that. It's 78 or 75 instead of 90. There's a huge difference. He thinks the ball's here. The ball's really way back there. Trying to hit that ball still, what will he have to do? He'll have to slow down. So his bat's now slowing down on the zone to hit that pitch. See how that can cause some problems? What we'd rather do, load our hands back, stride forward just like he did the first time. So a good power slot is load our hands back, stride foot comes forward, now you're in position to hit, the only thing that has to come is the hands. Everything else is down. All the weight's transferred, hands are loaded, hands now just have to approach and explode the ball. We're going to be going over some of the details of the power slot here. First of all, Carson starts in the stance, goes ahead and loads up, gets in his power slot. Okay, some of the things we want to look at, start up, work down. His elbow here is a nice, somewhat of a 90 degree bend. It's going to allow him to be able to utilize his tricep muscle. which is a large muscle group, right? Versus if his arms loaded and got extended and went out, he's already lost that ability to approach the ball with a bent arm and utilize the tricep. He's extended out. He's now going to approach it long. He's going to approach it using a deltoid muscle. This is a much weaker muscle group going towards the ball or creating power than a tricep is. Imagine some of the weights you've lifted in a gym, if you ever have, and what you get to use pushing or extending with your tricep versus what you can do with like a deltoid. So if he gets extended out, one thing that'll be a problem is that it'll be very weak here. Another thing that'll be a problem is this swing will start very long, kind of continue. It takes a very long path. If you follow the cap of the ball, the bat to a contact point, it's going to be a very long dragging path. Versus if he loaded the way he did before, where he loaded up, he has a nice bend, and he can start extending to contact. He can take it nice and short and utilize the tricep muscle going to contact. So, you go back. The other thing is done now with his load, heads down, nice and still, is his front side has stepped in close to the plate. If you could look from the front, the back big toe meets up to about the instep of his front foot, going straight out to the mound for the pitcher. That's keeping him slightly closed, allowing him to hit the outside pitch. He can still always turn and open the ball or hit the ball inside. But you can't go from an open to back closed to turn to get back open again. So if he starts off, he's closed, he hit the ball away, pull up inside pitch without any problem at all. Okay? The other thing you'll see, this front toe is slightly closed. When we're talking about linear versus rotational, if this foot would at all start turning open when he landed, his whole body is going to continue. That's the start of a rotational swing. Starts opening, everything's going to continue around and follow. If he started open like that and started to swing, it'd be very difficult to create a linear approach through the ball or get extension through the ball. So if he continues to try to swing at this point, his weight stays back, he starts coming around, and as he finishes swing, it'll be around or across the ball. Same thing as if he stepped that front foot, go ahead and start again. If he started with a stride in his front foot, instead of going closed, went back it up a little bit, and he was open, his approach again would be around or rotational. If he continued to swing from here, after stepping open, it would continue around. And as Carson strides again, you'll notice that weight transfer is forward. He's no longer on his back leg. He may have been in a stance. That's not important. In a stance, he can have his weight on his backside or his front side or in the middle or wherever he feels comfortable with. It's not really relevant. But when he loads and gets into his power slot, that weight transfer on his backside to his front side. So you see that weight transfer shift over. He has pressure down on his front foot. It's not really over his front foot or pushing against or in front of it. It's down and against it. We don't hit over our front foot. We hit against our front foot. Okay? So his pressure right now is against his front side. We'll be talking about equal and opposite at times. When he loads, his hands go up and back. The stride foot comes forward and down. It's the exact opposite of where his hand's going. So if he would load his hand straight back, the opposite would be foot straight forward. Here, hands load up, his foot comes forward but down. Pressure down on the front side of his foot. Also, a note to see, if he turned real quick for a second, go ahead and do that same load again. On his front side, that heel's not on the ground. Go ahead and put it down just like you were. I could put my hand right underneath it. He's not squishing it at all. It's pressure down right here on the front of his foot. It's on the ball of his front foot. Reason why we want to land on the ball of our front foot is it's kind of like our human shock absorber. When landing on the heel, it's a big thud. If you ever jumped rope before, hopped around, land on the ball of your foot because it's nice and soft and squishy. Landing on your heels, you'll give yourself a concussion probably. You know, so we like a nice squishy landing, keeps the ball looking soft, keeps it looking smooth, and we actually see it for what it is. If you ever see the ball going boom, 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 right through the zone, you might be landing on your heel. You get a big thud, not a really good thing. You have two things if you see the ball move like this. They created a new pitch you just can't hit, so time to get out of the game or stop landing on your heel. So, ball of your foot, pressure down, hands up and back. There's your equal opposite for your power slot. Here's a little drill we like to use to enforce the power slot. Let's guys go ahead and swing away a little bit. You're just using like a heavy bag. You can use the football hitting dummies and things like that. They work out. Good thing to tell your hitters is kind of a spot down in the bag they can hit. I'll tell him try to hit below the writing here. And it's not really important that they hit there. It's just important they don't hit you or me. So that's all it does. Very simple. Just have them go ahead and load up and they get something to hit on. Go ahead. Swing. Boom. Lower. Load. Explode. Boom. Load. Explode. Simple little drill. The guy holding the bag shouldn't feel much at all, if anything, even with big, strong guy swinging the bat hard at you. Okay, this is Cameron. She's going to be doing the heavy bag drill as well for the power slot. So, again, keeping it simple, just tell them load and explode or whatever you want to use to tell them to do it. But break it down. Let them be able to isolate the drills. So, get ready. Get your stance. Load. Explode. Good. And here you can do some correcting. She's an 11-year-old girl. She's been doing lessons for a couple years with me, but we always still need additional work. It's not going to be as polished off as a 20-year-old college player like Carson, you know, who's been doing lessons with me since he was 12 years old. He's going to have things a little more fluid. So go ahead and load. Stop right there real quick. Put a little more pressure on the front side. Explode. See how I can address things as we go through there? I can stop her, create something that I want, let her know something real quick, so let her explode. So a couple little key words I just use is load, explode. It's like same thing as saying go to your power slot, swing. One more time. Ready? Load, explode. Do it again. Load. Okay, load your hands more. Do it again. Ready? Load, explode. See how I can stop, isolate, see something that she's done, fix it, bam. So it's instantaneous, quick fix, pow, done. And you've addressed the issue, straight to it. Okay, our next step is step 3. It's the approach. So after we've gone from our stance into our power slot, we're gonna start approaching the ball with our hands. A couple quick things to think about that'll help you in this is this step is not real long, first of all, is you can kind of try to slide the barrel of the bat past your neck. One way to think about it. Another way to think about it is taking the knob of the bat and driving it down towards the ball in the hitting zone, not towards the ball coming at you. Or just keeping this arm somewhat tight to your body and extending it forward. Go ahead. Just keep that somewhat tight. And then extending here at your tricep. See how he just created extension here? Kept it tight, extended. That's another way to try to work on approach. The angle is short, bat, comes down, that's approach. That's it. That's all you have to worry about for step 3. Step 4, we'll kind of work right into that. Step 4 is contact. It's just the extension and where you get to at contact. Step 4 has many drills that can help you out with this. What you need to feel here at contact is leverage. Notice he hasn't pivoted or squished a bug or anything like that. Nothing's happened yet. There's nothing that's gonna force that until he starts finishing his swing, gets to step 5. Keeping his leverage. He hasn't rotated off the ball. A lot of the rotational hitters I see spin towards the ball. When they get to it, they have nothing left when they get there. He's still here. He's down at contact. He's got a lot of leverage left and a lot left to continue pushing through this ball or getting extension to the ball. So now that he's exploded to this ball, he's got something left to hit it with. Okay. This next drill is called the one-hand drill. We're going to be doing this with both our hands, but one at a time, isolation. We actually will be bringing both together as well. This will help you with the approach. This will help you with bettering bat speed. This will help you with bettering power, leverage, contact, hand-eye coordination, any of these things, and all of those things are addressed right here in this drill. So basically, all that Carson will be doing is choking up on his bat to about the top of his tape. We're going to start off with the bottom hand. Again, some of the things we're going to work on is trying to stay square with our hands here, keeping good L to start with, and all our points, all our strong points. He's just gonna tuck his other hand that's not being used under his armpit, extend his left leg out, and put it down on the ground and keep it flat. He wants to stay there. We don't want him to try to move it around and let it spin off or pivot off or come up off the ground. So actually kind of put a little pressure down on it and it'll help you stay on the ground. Not a bad idea is put a towel or a rag or a glove under your knee there if you're not wearing baseball pants or anything, so the ground doesn't chew up your leg. Anyhow, a slight choke up like that, and it's basically just soft toss. Work 5 or 10 and switch hands. You'll get a good burn out of it. You'll create a lot of bat speed. And we're trying to hit this hard. We're trying to gain extension through the zone again and just work the ball right through the middle. Again, good backspin, working through the ball. You'll see he's not falling back when swinging. He's not backing up when coming to contact. Things a lot of hitters do is they back up when they get to contact. Well, now they're here and they're fully extended. If you're backed up, show me two hands backed up on a pitch. If you're backed up when you get to contact, what's he have left to hit the ball with? Everything's come back. It's like punching somebody leaning backwards. He'd be punching coming forward. So here, we don't want to be leaning back. We want to be staying where we were when we got loaded, which is down and forward, or against our front foot. Stay against your front foot. It's not really forward or over it, it's against it. I'll reiterate that. But right where he would get in his load, go ahead and show where you get in your load. Right where he get in his load, his power slot, is right where his body will stay when coming to contact. He won't be leaning back. He just stays there, brings his hands to the ball, and that's it. Same thing you want to do in this one-hand drill. So make sure, see a lot of guys back up when trying to get the one-hand drill, trying to get through it, like the ball is going to move them. You're moving the ball. The ball won't move you. Get your bat to it, extend through it, stay there. Don't back up because you feel it getting on top of you. I'd rather get jammed with levers than jammed without any. Good. One more. Good. Then you can switch hands, go to the top hand. Same thing. We're punching down hard through the zone. The path will be the same following through. Load's the same. Everything is the same. Contact is square. He still doesn't back up, stays through it, comes through the ball. He's going to try to gain as much extension as he can. Little roll there, so let's try to stay square. You see him try to stay square through it? It's hard to do. All your leverage is on the end of your bat, and the harder you're swinging, the more momentum is thrown with that weight. So it's harder to keep your wrist square. That's not, the point is not to try to slow down though. It's try to stay square, get stronger, keep going harder through it, and keep your wrist square. Not bad. Try to stay through, flat. Good. Much better. Okay. You can then address this. It's an isolation drill. Close to the one-hand drill, just with two hands. So we call it an isolation drill. Just get down to your regular hitting spot on the bat. All you're doing is taking the lower half out of it, isolating the upper half. See, he's still staying square, still staying through the ball, still keeping the front foot on the ground. Not moving or backing up, not rotating. That's the one-hand drill, that's the isolation drill. After you've gone from your stance, to your power slot, to your approach, down to contact, step 5 is simple. It's just finishing, it's releasing, it's the end. It's as you extend, you're working straight. Body's starting to move up, you'll see the back foot start coming off the ground, pressure will really work against the front side. This is good, having pressure against the front foot. You're gonna try to keep this as closed as possible, working ball through the middle of the field or the opposite way. It's easy to keep it closed. As you hit an inside pitch, yes, it starts to open a little bit, but think of that as how it would be closed in proportion to being straight away left field. It would still be closed off. So that's kind of how closed you want to get. Wherever you're going straight away through, that's what it'll be closed to. If I'm going straight through left, it'll be somewhat closed to left. I'm going to turn him, Carson, real quick, and so you can see this angle coming at you. Go ahead and come over here. So we have the stance, we have the power slot, we have an approach, we have contact. Now you're going to see him release or extend. You actually saw contact quite a bit back here. And now we're going to see extension and finish. If finish is done through, he's actually finished with a swing here. Hands and arms are fully extended. There's nothing left that needs to carry him around. Nothing that's going to carry him this way or around. A lot of problems you'll see is with hitters with a rotational swing will swing all the way around and they'll be pivoting hard and that momentum will be taking a big circle, a big arc all the way around to that backside, boom, and the back leg will come out or get off balance. You'll see hitters fall into the box. It's a very common mistake to see. You see the guy swing, come all the way around, back foot comes out. That's a sure tell sign right there of a rotational swing, or guy spinning too much on the ball, not getting through it enough, not getting enough extension. And that's what we'll talk about a lot here, or need to focus on a lot here, on your release or on your finish. Once you get through approach and contact, we need to have good extension as much as we can through forward without actually moving our body a great deal, through the ball, through our hitting zone, get maximum extension as much as we can. That increases our margin of error, and you're finished. Your finish is quite literally your finish. You're done out here in front of you. So there's nothing really that follows through. There's no step six. If it is, it's called showboating, because everything else just coming back is fluff. There's nothing left to it. I know a lot of guys finish here. It's just to slow down your bat. It's a natural thing to do. However it may happen, it's not relative to actual hitting. So extension, contact, release, you're coming through. Those three, four, five steps kind of work together real quick. It's your swing. They're done. You're done right here. That's it. Your extensions with your hands out front. Finish or follow through at the end of that. It's fluff. It's nothing really relative, as long as you're staying through and not pulling yourself off after that. But all those problems would happen previous to that. If you've gone through getting in your proper power slot, approach, extension, release, you won't have a problem with any other kind of follow through you have there. It'll be a non-issue. This drill here is called the basketball drill. Reason we're going to work on hitting a basketball is it's heavy, for one. When you hit it, you got to have leverage left over. If you hit it weak, the ball is going to really show you that. If you turn over the ball or roll your wrist or come across it, it's really going to exaggerate that. And so what this ball is going to do is basically exaggerate our better points and exaggerate our weaker points. It'll show us more clearly what we need to work on. It's called the basketball drill. Hit it off a tee. Okay, so basically what he's working for is trying to work through the ball, try to create backspin. With a big basketball, very easy to see what kind of spins on the ball. We're trying to work away from the ball having slice or cross spin, and we're trying to work away from rolling over on it, hitting ground balls, or cutting across it and wrapping it. We want pure backspin, not top spin or anything like that. The ball with backspin will create good travel. It'll have lift. It'll stay up. If it has top spin, it's going to dive into the ground and become a ground ball. Or as slice, it's going to hook, become a foul ball. Not going to have the max amount of power through it. You might have to move. There you go. So, right here, you can see good backspin coming off the bat. You can see as he approaches it, when he makes contact, we have good backspin, ball traveling through the air, staying up and staying flat. That's well done. This is somewhat of an advanced drill. Younger players that are out there, it's a good idea to wear a helmet with the face mask. Ball's heavy, bat's gonna create some reactive force. If you don't get to this ball strong, it's gonna react to you or recoil off it. Bat'll bounce back, come back, hit you in the face, and it does happen. It's happened many, many times. I make all of my lessons that are younger or don't completely understand this drill yet, wear a face mask and a batting helmet with a face mask. The bat bounces off the ball, comes back, smacks him directly in the face. Happens all the time. So keep that in mind when using this drill. If you're not familiar with it, you're not comfortable with it yet, wear a face mask and a helmet. When you hit it hard, get through it, keep going. Don't hit it hard right to it and stop there. Keep going, keep pushing through it. That's basically where we're working. Right here, at contact and approach, we want to work our hands inside of the ball. When I say inside of the ball, imagine cutting the ball in half. Closest to you is the inside half. The half farthest away from you is the outside half. You're also trying to hit the top half of the ball. So it's the top inner half or quarter of the ball that you're going for. The top half, driving through the top, ending up on the bottom, versus starting on the bottom, ending up on the top. It'll create top spin. You'll be wrapping over the top of it. We also want to work away from hitting around the outside of the ball. That'll create a ground ball. The bat will continue going through the ball. Hop the bat right over the top, beat the ball right in the ground. It'd be an easy ground ball for the shortstop. So work inside the ball, work through the ball, start through the top, work through the bottom. The longer we can stay through the middle, the better. Start through the top, get through it, end up on the bottom, create as much extension as we can, create backspin. That's the basketball drill. Okay, we're back to the heavy bag drill. Same drill, different reasons. We're gonna get right back to starting off in our stance, loading up, extending, and getting to contact. But this drill helps us work at where we wanna be at the point of contact. Right here, Carson's got good forward pressure against his front foot. It's down, he's closed, he's got great leverage. Here's another thing we haven't been able to talk about yet, but it's being square. You'll see the forearm here. I'll try to create a different angle for the camera. But the forearm here is square with the bat. It's a right angle, it's a strong position. If he's here, more like in a V format, our hands are weak. They've already rolled over, we're at contact, and letting energy transfer through our wrists. Well, our wrists are about the weakest point we can have along our swing. They're not stronger than our triceps or our biceps or our shoulders even, or our back, or our trunk, or our core. So we don't want energy transferring through that. If we could stay square here, we can create leverage. Now we're not transferring energy through our weakest link. So see where Carson is at leverage point. He's at contact. At this point, he hasn't turned. He hasn't lost any leverage. He still has it. Here, he could create pressure and he could push up against me, and you can make your hitters do this. Come to contact and push and kind of try to finish their swing. And I can very clearly feel that pushing me and this 60-pound heavy bag that's against me right now. Baseball weighs 5 ounces, so not even a third of a pound. This 60-pound, if he can move that and me, he can move a baseball. So load up, blow up on this thing. And there's leverage. You saw him hit, push through. One thing we want to try to stay against is a little bit of what happened there is coming across it, but he hit it with a lot of force there and he kind of hit the inner part of this, so he saw it slide a little bit. You see a lot of guys when they finish their swing, if you tell them to finish it, I say finish your swing, and they have extension and all you feel is a push, that's a good thing. If you see them say, you say finish their swing, see the bat starting to come across, or you see their wrist starting to turn over, you'll note they're rolling on it, cutting across it, you're seeing rotation occur. Now you're losing leverage. So one more time for effect, load up, blow up. Again, a lot of pressure, big indentation going through this big heavy bag. I felt it, a lot of percussion, very square. That's what we want, good leverage, good explosion through the ball. He's finishing through me, not across me. Okay, next drill we're gonna be doing, basketball between the legs drill. What this will do is help your body stay kind of tight, tucked in, together on your bottom half, and it's isolating your bottom half, and it's just working a drill off of that to keep it stable, and so it's not moving and moving around a lot. Help you get down, you'll have a little bit of a smaller stride. You're still picking up and moving, even if you have a big stride. That's not a problem. You're still getting to a point of position. Keep your hips tucked in tight. You're not rotating off of this. You're pushing your backside towards your front side or hitting up against your front foot. If you spin on this, ball will drop. If you push through and stay together, the backside should fall into the front side and keep the ball tucked in tight. So, a couple examples here. Ball fell out because he has slippery pants. Good. That's basketball between the knees. Okay, it's gonna be the basketball between the knees drill for softball. What we're doing here, keeping the basketball tucked in, squeeze tight, driving the back leg into your front leg, try not to rotate. If you rotate off this, the ball will fall out. If you push the back through, it should stay in there. Sometimes you have slippery pants, it's kind of hard to do, ball slips out anyways, but you'll get a good idea. Squeeze it in tight, drive the back leg through forward. If you rotate, you'll know it'll slip out real fast. Ready? Good, go ahead and load up, do everything like you would with your foot. Good. Not bad. A couple more. Good. Nice. Basketball between the legs drill. One of the biggest issues we like to address, or we hear that needs to be addressed, is players afraid to get hit by the pitch. Him? Not so much. But that's partly because he knows how to get hit by the pitch. And he's gotten used to it. One of the biggest things, the reasons why guys are afraid to get hit is because they're injured when they are hit, or they feel very vulnerable when they're being hit. Here's a few things that can keep you safe just in case you are. There's nothing that can be done about getting hit. You just are. If you're in the path of a fastball and it's coming right at you, there's not a whole lot other than trying to move out of the way that you can do for it. But it's something you have to try to get over mentally. And here are a few things that I've used that have helped some players. And it's basically just showing them how to be safe if they're going to get hit. You usually have a helmet on. So keep that in mind. Okay. It all starts back, goes back to where we are in our power slot. He's in a stance where he loads up and goes into his power slot. Go ahead. Okay, where he's at here is a safe position. Ball coming at him, if it's going to come here, hit him in his back, this is all padding. He can easily turn from here, tuck his head without doing much, turn even his knee in if he has to without doing much, and he's going to get hit and everything that's meat. There'll be no bone exposed. Even this bone here in the back of his head is covered by a batting helmet. So everything is tucked. Be a turtle, tuck your head in. Ball hits off you, you can get a good glancing blow on most of your body, but it's all meat. It's going to be kind of like getting a hard pat on the back. Yes, it stings for a second there, but you got a free first base. It sure beats the alternative, where if he strides and loads and goes to his power slot and he's open, like his front foot lands open or it turned open or anything like that, where do you have to go from here? It's hard to go from open to back closed on the speed of a pitch. If you're open, human nature takes over and you just duck and hide. Problem is, everything here is exposed when crouching away. Your face, not covered by the batting helmet. Elbow, forearm, hands, all the little intricate bones that are in your hands, they break so easy. Knee, shin, foot, all those bones are wide open now. They were closed before, couldn't see them. Guys, you out there, you have other things that are exposed here you don't want to get hit in. It's there. You get hit in the chest by a good fastball, it's going to hurt. You get hit in the heart, you're young, and there's still a good fastball, it could kill you. There's no joke about that. It happens every year. You hear a story about that. Your face is very vulnerable here. Your hands are very vulnerable here. Your forearm, your elbows, your knees. Keep yourself closed. It's just another reason to get closed off in your power slot. You open, you're going to be around the ball, you're going to be away from your power, you're weaker, you're pulling away from it. There's a few popular hitting myths that are out there you'll see a lot on fields around the areas that you'll be playing baseball or softball in. One of the things you hear a lot that's hopefully starting to fade away is kids have to hit with their elbow up. You'll hear that a lot on a lot of Little League fields, you know, hold your elbow up and things like that. Best thing to do when you hear things, to ask a simple question. Why? Why would you do it? Holding your elbow up, what's the point? I've heard a few myths, helps you drive the bat straight down, things like that. I can take the bat down from here towards the ball or from here towards the ball. It's irrelevant. It's all really comfort. If your elbow's up and that's what feels comfortable, hold your elbow up. If it's down and this feels comfortable, hold your elbow down. It's totally irrelevant. One problem with it that can happen is, again, going back to, do your muscles fire better relaxed or tensed? Your elbow's up, your deltoid here, your shoulder. Is that muscle relaxed or tensed? Well, it's flexed. It's holding it up, so it's tensed. Now it's getting tired. The muscle's firing. It's breaking down. While it's up and I'm having to hold it there before I even get ready to swing. How long is that pitcher standing on the mound letting me hold my elbow up? So the muscle's already tensed. It's not going to fire as easily as it would be relaxed. So answer that question for yourself. Okay, another myth is squishing the bug. That means sit back, keep your weight back, hit off your backside, sit and spin. Back foot will turn and rotate. You squish the bug, the imaginary bug that's underneath it. Well, this is a common picture a lot of people think they see when looking at a side profile photo of a major league hitter, for example. They're here, they think they're seeing this. And what they're not really understanding is in reality, they're seeing this. And there's a really big difference between the two. One has its weight back and is stuck. They're off their back foot, they're pushing up against the ball here, and they have nothing left when they get to extension. The other one, here, they're against their front side, weight's against the inner part of their front side, and they're hitting through the ball. They're able to get a lot more extension, a lot more range, a lot more margin for error. They're wanting to hit the ball deeper if you're off your back foot and you're against your front foot, more linear. That's the approach that way, versus sitting back, squishing the bug, and rotating on an axis, cutting your margin for error off. Okay, another big myth we hear a lot, it's called a power V. It's where you want to make contact down here, creating your arm angle at a V with the bat. Problems with this. When you make contact, you want to create leverage. Well, with leverage, we need to try to be square or eliminate our weakest links. With the power of V, our weakest links are already fired. They've already moved. Our wrists have turned over. They've broken. They're in a weaker position. That means energy is going to transfer through this part of our body. Transferring through your wrist, again, like I said, it's got to be a lot weaker than your tricep, your bicep, your upper body, your core, your trunk. It's not as strong as those types of muscle groups. So we don't want energy to transfer through that weakest link. Avoid the power V. Try to stay square. Be more like a power T than a power V. You'll be all right. Okay, I have one other hitting myth. It kind of goes along with that power V, but people say snap your wrist or roll your wrist through the ball and through the zone. Well, again, transferring energy through your weak link, rolling your wrist, transferring energy through your weak guys there, your weak wrist, won't create any power. Keeping them square, keeping them strong, and you'll be all right. Okay, another one you'll hear a lot, it's not really a myth, but it's something that people think their kids are doing or other players are doing, and that's they think they pull their head off the ball. Well, I haven't really seen many players actually take their head here and just pull it off the ball and finish their swing with their body over it. It's not really that their body or their head is pulling off their ball, but rather their body's coming away. Again, the rotational swing comes into effect here. If the hitter's coming around, their body's off, your head just wants to follow. Imagine trying to follow somebody walking away from you using your head like this. There'd be a certain point you may just turn your head, but then you'd want to turn your body. It's uncomfortable to be that way. Same with a hitter. Their body comes around. It's very uncomfortable to try to keep their head here. That's a rotational swing. Versus a linear approach coming through, it's really a piece of cake. My shoulders are still square. My chest is still over the front of the ball. I'm staying over the plate, seeing it when I'm hitting. And my head wouldn't be called leaving the ball even on an inside pitch where I'm turning. I'm not pulling my head off the plate or off the ball anywhere through this zone because my chest and my body stays here. It's very simple for my head to be here. It'd be really awkward for it just to fly away at this point. So before you say somebody's pulling their head, think about that for a second and try to realize that they're being more just a rotational hitter where they're pulling their entire body out rather than pulling their head. Their head's not necessarily the issue, it's their body. Yes, your head follows your body, but it goes vice versa as well. Your body will follow your head.